welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot, whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever. That's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
I'm just about to introduce our presenter. I'm really honored to have a very powerful and beautiful woman here with us today. She's a facilitator and award-winning author. She's a speaker and the founder of Women and Power Community. She works with highly achieving women, helps them to connect with their feminine power, understand the gift of their wounds, and command respect instead of fear. Thank you very much, Uni, to be here with us. I'm really happy and excited for your presentation. So the stage is all yours.
All right. Well, I don't know about your mornings, but at my house, mornings are stressful. It might not be morning where you are actually right now, but here in Europe, it's morning, early morning. I remember particularly this one morning a few years ago. It's November. Outside, it's pitch black and snowing. I'm tired and I'm rushing to finish making the school lunches for my kids. My son Axel is 9 and Ella is 6 years old. Oh my God, school starts in 30 minutes. Axel, Ella, are you guys ready? Let's go. Ella comes and grabs her lunchbox. I help her with her coat and boots. Axel, where are you? Let's go. Finally, he gets there and he gives me a hostile, chill mom. I snap. It's like I'm stepping out of my body, watching myself as I grab him, open the door, shove him out and throw his backpack and lunchbox after him. And I slam the door shut. Later that day, the kids come back from school and I sit down with both of them to apologize. I really want to promise that this won't happen again, but I can't get myself to say the words because the truth is, I don't know how to stop. I'm angry all the time and I don't know how to get rid of my rage. And I hate myself for hurting my kids. The reason I'm sharing this story today is that we often have a lot of shame around anger. We feel like we're bad, that we're bad people for the way that we act out our anger. And if any of you can relate to this, raise your hand. I know that I can't see all of you, but I want you to raise your hand, even if I can't see you. Honor yourself. Yeah. Anger, especially a woman's anger, isn't something that's historically wanted in our society. I remember back when I was in seventh grade, I was 13. I'm sitting in class working quietly when I feel a tug at the back of my hair and I hear a snip. John Edgar is standing right behind me with a pair of scissors in one hand and a chunk of my hair in the other. I want to get up and smash his ugly face in, but I know that's not how a good girl behaves. Plus, he's bigger and stronger than me. The next day in class, there's this girl sitting in front of me, perfect Catherine. Now, she doesn't like me very much. She's rude and she can be quite mean. I know I have a pair of small scissors right there in my pencil case. And before I know it, I grab them, lean forward, snip. And for a split second, I feel invincible. Boy, did I get in trouble. I'm sent to the principal's office, my parents get involved. The whole school now knows me as the girl who cuts other students' hair. The boy who cut my hair? Nothing. No consequences. Now, if you're a woman, I'm sure you can think of a time when you got in trouble in your childhood. Maybe you were too loud, took up too much space, some sort of behavior that was considered acceptable in a boy, but not for a girl. Raise your hand if that's you, if you've experienced that. Yeah. Here's why we have so little toleration for anger in girls and women. In the traditional patriarchal social system, where men held primary power over women, a woman's rage was considered dangerous. You would get punished for it. Now, when I use the word patriarchy, what I mean is a culture where the masculine male perspective has been the predominant, and where a woman's opinion or perspective was considered less valuable. So under patriarchy, a woman was less worth. But what they really were afraid of in that culture wasn't a woman's rage in itself, but what it represented. Showing anger meant you were standing up for yourself, that you wouldn't be tamed. So of course, if you were an unruly, angry woman under patriarchy, you would be punished. You might even get burned at the stake. Still today, even if our society has evolved, patriarchy in many ways still lives inside of us. I call this our inner patriarch. And we still have this stigma around showing our anger. Anger isn't good girl behavior. And it sure ain't ladylike. I mean, I get it. An angry woman can be quite intimidating. There is a fire inside an angry woman. And that fire lets the world know that she refuses to be less than, or belittled, or have her wings clipped. A woman on fire shows power, even if it's just a sliver of her power. And here's where it gets tricky. The expressions of power that we are used to seeing or may have experienced ourselves have often been abusive. We're talking domination by force or manipulation. Often this power has been violent and angry. So we associate showing anger with abusive power. And who wants to be associated with that kind of power? Not me. And I'm guessing not you either. And by the way, the same stigma is valid for women who are too loud, too opinionated, too much. And so we learn as women to contain or suppress our anger, and we reduce ourselves. A lot of women have pushed their anger so far down, they don't even realize they have anger. They can't access the emotion. For the rest of us, we have a few options to try to contain it. Option A, and this is the one I feel the most shame around. In our reduced, contained state, we become pressure cookers and potentially dangerous to our environment. Like when I blew up on my son, Axel. That's abusive power. Option B, we can become high-achieving perfectionists. We are super demanding with ourselves, with our kids, with our coworkers. We micromanage everything as a means to control our fire. And if you're anything like me, you might have a communication style that's borderline aggressive. Yeah, anyone like that out here? Anyone like me? Yeah. And then we have option C. Because we don't want to be overtly angry, we use indirect aggression, especially against other women. We gossip, exclude, team up against another woman. We diminish each other. In all three cases, we earned a condescending label of bitch, or my personal favorite, raging bitch. Now, let's talk for a minute about female indirect aggression. First of all, there's nothing new about this. According to Professor Phyllis Chesler, who has spent 40 years studying women's inhumanity towards other women, women are predisposed and socialized to compare and compete with other girls and women. Professor Chesler has even written a book. She's the author of Woman's Inhumanity to Woman, which I can highly recommend, by the way, if you want to go deeper into this. What happens when we start talking and sharing stories about our own experience with female indirect aggression is we learn that there are a lot of methods of such aggression that women use against each other to keep each other down. A few years ago, I met a party with my husband in Oslo. We had just moved here. It's my home country, but I've lived abroad for 20 years and we don't know a lot of people. But tonight, we're meeting some of the parents of our kids' new school, and I'm hopeful that I'm going to make some new friends. I remember arriving at the party, coming into a typical Scandinavian house. It's all white, simplistic, yet sophisticated interior. Everyone's already there, all dressed up with a glass in their hand. It smells perfume and champagne. I remember this one woman in gorgeous high heels who comes up to me, and she's blonde, bright red lipstick. She's wearing elegant black pants and a white silk blouse with a bow. She asks me what I do for a living. So I tell her that I've transitioned from working as an international lawyer in the corporate world to being a full-time speaker and writer. And I have a book that's been published in the United States. You know you can't call yourself an author, right? Until you publish at least 3 books. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply that I'm an author. I just do a bit of scribbling. Later that night, walking home from the party with my husband, I am raging. I can't believe that woman. Hello, scribbling? I've been working my tail off for 3 years before my book was actually published. And not by just anyone, by Pegasus in New York. And on I go in a monologue, because my husband's not saying much. You have to know this about my husband. He is a smart man. So he knows, because he knows me, he knows when to lay low so he won't get hit by my proverbial bullets. So here's what I want to ask you. Have you ever felt diminished? Or maybe have you diminished someone else? I think we all have, right? And there is no shame in that. I want you to know that it's not our fault. It's almost like an automatic behavior. We've all done it, and we all know what it's like to be on the receiving end of female indirect aggression. But what we might not be aware of is that the ultimate collective goal of these indirect aggressions is to keep women down. And this is the work of our inner patriarch. The inner patriarch is why women, including me, have this need to put a happy, successful woman back in her place, which historically has been a place of self-doubt and modesty. And if you're a woman, you know what I'm talking about. And because we want to be trusted and liked, we get back in line. We downplay our strength and our accomplishments. We find it harder to accept compliments. We say, I feel, instead of I know. We ask if our ideas make sense instead of assuming that they do. We apologize for nearly everything. We say we scribble instead of owning the fact that we're a published author. Now, this may not seem like a big deal, but add all the consequences of women's lack of confidence to the constant stress that we're under, driving ourselves way too hard because we have to prove our worth. Now, that's not a recipe of someone you want to lead your company or a country. I also want to point out something else, and it's that it's no longer the men who are keeping us from reaching gender equality or keeping us from stepping fully up. At least not only. Our inner patriarch does that for us. We don't need the social system of patriarchy any longer to be kept down because, ladies, we do that all by ourselves. When I was walking home from that night from the party with my husband, I was actually mostly angry with myself. This woman did put me back in my place, but I joined her. You see, women use a lot of indirect aggression, even against ourselves. The problem, or one of the problems with indirect aggression, is that it's sneaky and difficult to prove. Many years ago, I was working as a lawyer at a bank in Switzerland. There was one other woman in the legal department there, and she consistently held back information that I needed to do my job, and that made me look bad in front of our bosses on a few occasions. There was no one I could talk to about this because no one would have believed me. I just had to deal with it and find other ways of getting the information that I needed to do my job, and I did. I did. But this woman's hostility took a toll on me. In addition to feeling unsupported, I was constantly afraid of what she might do next. I stopped trusting my colleagues, male and female, and I felt very much alone. Now raise your hand if you have had a similar experience. Yeah. According to my research, especially in the workplace, women are brutal with each other, which is a problem if we want more women to participate in leadership. All this competition, working so hard to prove ourselves, dealing with indirect aggression, there's a lot of built-up anger underneath all of that. It's a vicious cycle. We get angry. We try to contain it. We get angrier. We suppress some more. I don't know about you, but I just wanted to scrub it off. I tried everything from therapy to coaching to healers. Nothing really worked. I was like, let me beat it out at the gym. Yeah, no, didn't work. But I got really fit. Let me own it out in yoga class. Sure, like chanting some weird sounds is going to magically make my rage disappear. But hey, if you're a good student like me and a perfectionist, you practice yoga and meditation meticulously anyway, right? I mean, at least you can brag about your pretense to your friends. Then there's alcohol. Let me numb my rage with some wine. Yeah, that actually helped, at least at the moment. But the next morning, I would wake up just as angry and hungover. If you're a woman on fire like me, you know that your fire can't be tamed. How do I know this? Because every single containment strategy I've tried and the women I've worked with have tried, we have burned through and burned up. And if any of this resonates with you, here's what I want you to know. Your rage is there for a purpose. It's trying to tell you something. And that is that you have a need that's not being met. Or it's a sign, a signal, that in some area of your life, you don't believe you're enough. You see, deep inside of you, there is a fire that knows your inherent worth. And that fire flames up in protest whenever you or anyone else disregard you or disrespect you. So the anger that you've been trying to hide from or stuff away is actually a portal to your true feminine power, which is the creator of life. And in particular, your life. Anger is asking you to reclaim it. And by denying our needs, by always putting someone else first, by containing our emotions, we're denying ourselves. And we're not accessing our power. And the world needs us in our power now more than ever. There is a pull in our society asking women to step up. I don't know if you can feel it. Can you feel it? Raise your hand if you can feel it. Yeah. Only we don't know how to fully step up and be in our feminine power. For as long as we can remember, under patriarchy, our leadership was based on competition, dominance, and exclusion. And women in leadership today have had to adopt this dysfunctional leadership style to be credible. Just on a side note, men have a privilege that women don't have. They are by definition credible. They are believed just because they are men. What we need is a new understanding of our power as women. And just like fire, our feminine power is warming and it ignites. These are two sides of our feminine power, warming fire and ignition. Fire brings people together. It's life-giving and nurturing. So the language then of true feminine power is empathy, collaboration, and unity. Now, I'm not asking women to give up their masculine side. The masculine is part of us and it's needed. The masculine isn't patriarchal. It's the dominance that is patriarchal and dysfunctional. But what happens is we often abandon our feminine when we step up. And it's in the abandonment of our feminine that we relinquish the contribution that our feminine has to offer. And I'll say that again. It is in the abandonment of our feminine that we relinquish the contribution that our feminine has to offer. Let that sink in. So we don't have to be afraid of our power. Masculine or feminine. In fact, anything that's not uplifting, all the negative connotations that we've had with power is actually abuse of power. We just have to include the feminine to hold the polarity of the two, the warming of the fire and the ignition. But in order to access our power, we need to learn how to hold our rage and to make space for it and embrace it. We need to practice to be in the moment and in our full self-expression without overwhelm, because it's overwhelm that leads to pressure cooking. When we are able to hold our rage in an embodied way and allow it to be the way shower into ourselves, we get clarity. Our decision-making changes, and so does our behavior. We also get the ability to open up to our deeper inner knowing of what's needed in that specific moment. And by connecting with our inner knowing, that's how we learn how to become the leaders our families need, our communities need, our companies need, our world needs. I'm going to be really honest. Mornings at my house are still stressful. And the other day was no exception. Axel, let's go! I notice the pressure cooker inside of me and I take a deep breath. I close my eyes and I feel the rage rising up inside of me. I know it's trying to tell me something. I listen. And in that moment, I know. I want to feel connected to my kids, to create a deeper connection with Axel. And I also want to honor my need to be heard and to not be late. Hey, Axel, sweetheart, how are you doing? I know you're tired. I hear you. But you can do this. I know you can do this. Let me help you get your stuff together tonight. We're going to take some time together as a family, but right now, we have to go. And you might be wondering how Axel responded. I mean, he's a teen now. And you know what? It doesn't really matter, because I was in my power. I held my rage in an embodied way. So I want to invite you to a short guided meditation to give you a taste of what true feminine power feels like or can feel like. So if you're up to it, I invite you now to close your eyes and take a deep breath in. Fill your lungs and your whole body with air. Allow that fresh air to fill your body up. And let it all out slowly. And then fill your body up again. Fill your lungs and your whole body, every cell of your body, fill it with oxygen. And hold for a second or two at the top. And then let it all out slowly. And then all you have to do is to listen to my words and continue to breathe fully, deeply, and slowly. Think about Mother Nature. She's fierce. There is no containing her. If she wants to take your house in the next storm, flood, or earthquake, she will. Mother Nature is life-giving, and she takes you to your grave. It's the same with us women. Breathe that in. Breathe Mother Nature in. Women, we are a force to be reckoned with. The feminine is anything but weak. Our fire is our internal Mother Nature. There is nothing bad about her. And there is nothing wrong with you or with any of us. We're just exhausted and angry from believing we had to contain our fire. Breathe that in. Allow oxygen to fill all the cells in your body. Breathe that fire in and let it all out. Instead of trying to contain your fire, your anger, I want you to allow yourself to make space for it, to embrace it and more fully embody the experience of your killer level rage as the portal to a fuller, positive power. Now take a deep breath in. Fill your body with air. Feel your feet on the ground beneath you. Feel how you are connected to Mother Earth and your feminine power. Breathe that in. And while you're keeping your eyes closed, I want you to imagine a goddess. Imagine the Hindu goddess Durga. Durga fought evils and demonic forces that threatened peace and prosperity. Durga is fierce, and she is a gorgeous, regal, powerful woman riding a tiger with her sword in her hand. And if any of you have seen images of Durga, you'll know that she has this sweet smile, not a smirk. It's a sweet smile that gives her a really sweet, loving face. So there's a duality in Durga of this fierceness, this power, raw power, and a loving, sweet woman, feminine woman. Breathe that in. And now I want you to imagine Pele, the Hawaiian goddess of fire and volcanoes. She is the destroyer and creator of land. Now imagine Pele with both arms stretched up in the air, exuding power and beauty. With the burning lava pouring out from under her, flowers are blossoming around her and in her hair, bringing life to the planet. Take a deep breath in and feel that power. Now, if we don't have any real life female role models, let's look to these goddesses for divine inspiration on how to hold space for our power with greater capacity. The female power, which is both sweet and fierce, must be understood, accessed, and held in a very different way by women, so that we as powerful goddesses can redirect the world in a new and better way for all life. Take a deep breath in. Feel that power, feel the feminine, loving sweetness. Breathe that in, feel your connection to Mother Earth and to your feminine power. And even if you're not a woman, you still have a feminine power that wants to come up to the surface and be held. Breathe that in. Now, make a choice. Which one of these two goddesses to keep as an inspiration and to embody? Goddess Durga or Goddess Pele? The fierce and beautiful Durga riding a tiger, holding her sword of truth. Or Pele, the gorgeous, voluptuous goddess with dark, long hair down to her waist, oozing power with exploding volcano underneath her, with the capacity to destroy life and also create it. Hold that image of your choosing and become one with it. Step into the image. You are now the goddess. Take a deep breath in. Hold that image. Hold that power that you are now the goddess. Breathe that in. Hold it. Feel how powerful you are. And now that you have embodied that power, your feminine power, know that you can use it for anything you want. Just like Mother Nature, there is nothing stopping you. So, what do you want to use it for, this power? You can use it for anything. You can use it to get out of being a victim. You can use it to get out of depression or loneliness. You can use it to attract good people into your life. You can use it to set boundaries. You can use it for protection. You can use it in a leadership capacity to challenge yourself and others in positive and loving ways. You can use it to have more energy, more stamina, more life force. You can use it to nurture, including yourself. Anything. And now, I want you to think of an incident, a situation or a person you're angry with, either in the past or in the present. Feel that anger burning inside of you. Feel it, tap into it. And don't worry, I'm not gonna leave you here long. You're not gonna stay here. Just remember how you try to contain your anger, to constrain it. Notice your need to get away from your anger, or maybe you exploded it in a destructive way, like I did with my son Axel. Now feel that for a moment. Put one hand on your heart and the other on your belly. Tap into that emotion, that rage. Now take a deep breath in and remember, you are a woman on fire. You are a goddess and you are safe. And the people around you are safe with you in your power. You may be dangerous, but you are not a danger. Feel that power. Feel how extraordinary you are and how extraordinarily attractive and beautiful you are, being in your power, holding the polarities. And next time, in real life, when you have a situation with anger, go back to that empowered feeling, that knowing, that image of either Durga or Pele. All you have to do is remember that feeling, accessing the full spectrum of your power to open yourself up to the possibility. So next time you're there, in a situation and you feel anger rising up inside of you, listen. What is it trying to tell you? What is your fire, your inner goddess, trying to teach you, to share with you? She knows. And she knows what's possible. And now you know what's possible. And with that, with the thought of what's possible, take a deep breath in, filling your lungs and your whole body with air, and then slowly let it out. And in your own time, when you're ready, you can slowly come back into this space and open your eyes. Welcome back. Welcome back. Now, hopefully, you got a little taste of what true feminine power feels like or can feel like. I'm going to be honest to say that to be able to hold and embody our emotions, especially rage, it might not happen overnight. To be able to embody our own power is a process for us women. Because of everything that we've gone through for centuries with under patriarchy. But if this is something that you would like to explore, I am launching a new program for women around their issues of rage and power. So I would encourage you to ask your inner goddess if she feels called to lean into this. And because you signed up for this embodiment conference, I'm also offering a discount. So if you're interested, you can go to the contact page on my website or contact me through Facebook or Instagram. I believe the links are set up in chat or perhaps on the conference pages. So if you go there and contact me, we can set up a free discovery call to see if this program is right for you without any obligations to sign up or anything. And even if you're not called to go deeper with me, I want you to know that that's okay. You got this. You got this. Thank you. Thank you for listening and for showing up for yourself.
Thank you so much, dear Uni. That was really wonderful and powerful. And I think such an important topic to talk about. Rage, isn't it? I see so many speakers and teachers talking about anger and rage lately, especially women. And for my personal embodiment work that I've been learning in the past years, I find it's so crucial to tap into this rage to actually find new sources of my life force energy. And since we don't have any questions in the Q&A box, I will just ask myself, because I have a question for you. When you were talking about your story at home, when you feel the rage with, when, for example, someone is late or something, I'm really curious, how do you feel that rage when you tap into it and when you close your eyes and feel that rage and then all of a sudden you are actually able to kind of change something inside of you? I think that that's the most crucial point for us, you know, to really feel that and to do something with that. And people use so many different ways how to do it. And sometimes I have to do something with it because otherwise I have a feeling I'm compressing if I just breathe through or something. Yeah. And I was really curious, how do you tap into it so you can feel your feminine power and your power so your kids are actually feeling that, you know, so you are not mean or in a masculine energy with that or being, you know, what's your approach to it? How do you feel that in? And yeah, that's my question.
That's such a great question. And it's something that took me so long to figure out. And for me, and I think this can be different for other people, but for me and the process that I've sort of, that I work on with other women is there is a practice to practice tapping into feeling your power and sort of meditating on that on a daily basis, so that you're ready when you are actually in the situation. Because then if your rage takes over, I mean, it might be too late, right? And often it's too late. So first of all, forgive yourself when you do blow up and when it is too late, because it happens, right? And we're not perfect, we're human. But for me, the more I've practiced it, the more I practice to listen, because I know my rage is trying to tell me something. I know that it wants something, that it's something inside of me that I've been pushing and suppressing that I don't want to feel. So we must allow ourselves to feel, right? To really feel. And to embody that feeling, even such a difficult feeling as rage, and allow it to teach us what it is here to teach us. And the more I practice it, the better I get at it too. And as I said, it doesn't happen overnight. At least it didn't for me and the women I work with. So this is a practice. So I think it's just be patient, and just whenever it comes up, just, okay, remember, take a deep breath and listen. Try to listen before reacting. That's my take on that.
Yeah, it's very important. Also, I found it that it's so important to have the pacing of to work on that and to accept those feelings. Yes, and also we have another question in the Q&A box. It's a wonderful question connected to parenting and young girls. And the question is, do you have any tips on how to start it early with the little girls? I know modeling is key. Perhaps any words that can be easily understood by their young minds.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And thank you for bringing that up. Because as girls, we were taught directly or indirectly that our anger wasn't welcome in all sorts of, you know, implicit situations, that it wasn't ladylike. That's not how good girls behave, right? We're not supposed to like stamp our feet and be angry. And I think it's important. What I'm doing with my own children is to encourage them to be angry when they're angry, and then to channel that anger, you know, hitting a pillow, scream in a safe place where it's okay to scream, just telling them over and over that it's okay to be angry. It's okay to feel all sorts of feelings, sadness, anger, all these things, and just encourage that. And to encourage them when, as they grow older, to put words onto their anger, onto their rage, and ask them, so do you think that you're feeling that this is unfair? You know, try to help them set words, because our vocabulary is actually quite poor when it comes to emotions and explaining what it is that we're feeling, right? At least that's my experience. So trying to help them set words to their feelings, and also showing them when I get angry, right? Because I do get angry still. And to explain to them that, listen, I got really angry now. You know, like, you saw me, like, I got really angry before. And what I was feeling was such and such and this, and, you know, like putting words to my own emotions and rage. And that helps them also just by modeling that sort of behavior. So I think that's a place where we can start.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we have Lisa here with us in the main room raising the hand. Can you please unmute yourself and just go ahead with your question?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, it's Uni. Is that how you say your name?
Yes, it is.
Uni, thank you so much. I'm in Southern California. I'm sitting in the grocery store parking lot. I had to listen to the session. Now I know why. I was like, ooh, in tears during the meditation. I'm going to have to contact you. I've never heard anyone speak like this before. I'm a very strong woman. I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. I'm Sicilian. I'm from New York. I'm an Aries. What, Sicilian?
No, I'm an 8 on the Enneagram too. Oh.
Okay. Well, I figure from the name, you might be Sicilian. Yeah, I'm an Aries. I mean, we could go on and on. I typed in the chat, I'm looking for healthy masculine. So when people say patriarchy in the negative, I bristle because I had a weak father and I want healthy masculine. But I also feel, I have this thing that I'm ambisexual. I feel very well balanced masculine, feminine. But I'm still learning how to be, like, I know a lot of women from Eastern Europe, and they seem to have, I think that our moderator is Eastern European, they seem to have this, they're really in touch with their healthy feminine still. And us women in America have lost it. We're trying to be men. I'm trying to get in touch with the healthy feminine.
Yeah.
But I still want to be strong. So I'm just moved to tears. I wasn't expecting this. Everything you're saying, it's really touching me at a deep place. And also a story to share. I grew up with rheumatoid arthritis as a child. Mm. And I had my last crippling attack when I was 28. I'm 57 now. And at one point at the beginning of my healing journey, I kid you not, I had quarter-sized burn marks all over my torso. And I went to my acupuncturist and he goes, what's going on? I said, I don't know. I'm eating my diet. He goes, no. I said, anger. I've got anger. I had literally burn marks on my torso from anger coming out of my organs when I was 28 years old or 30 actually. Yeah. So this is real. The rage is real. And I don't want to go into too many details, but let's just put it this way. I had a very difficult childhood emotionally.
Yeah.
And someone said to me, the narcissistic mother is created by the unhealthy patriarchy. And I was like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I believe that's true. It's true in my family as well. That's the experience I have that, patriarchy has just created so many dysfunctions in our society. And the sad part is that we're still living with it. We're still living with it because we keep it inside of us, right? And so that's such a huge part of my work is to bring awareness and attention to that part and for us to move out of it because, it's funny you mentioned narcissism because the more I look for it, that I've been looking for it over the past years because I've experienced that myself, the more I see it around us in leadership as well. And we need a new way. We need for us women to come in with a healthy balance, holding the polarity of the two, of the masculine, and bring our feminine in. And as you're saying, we forget to bring our feminine in. We like push it down because it hasn't seemed like it was important, right? But it is important. And, we need this for our world right now. We really, really need it. So thank you for bringing that up. And please contact me. We'll set up a call.
Thank you. I really appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question. Thank you. And for sharing.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for bringing your feminine power into this call. It was an amazing question. And we have another one in the chat. I don't have time to read the whole question, but I will just briefly say the question is about how to handle your own expression and energy when it's too much. And for some people, and not to compress it, so do not be in this conflict inside. So just maybe a minute on for this answer, please.
Yeah, it's not easy. I'm gonna say straight up, it's not easy to hold it when it's too much, and sometimes you will explode, and it will happen. What happens with women, though, a lot of women is that a lot of women have. Repress their anger so far down that they can't even properly access the emotion. And so their anger actually comes out, but it comes out in sneaky ways. So we take it out on ourselves. We become auto-destructive. That can happen when it's too much, right? And then sometimes, like people, like if you're like me, you explode. So what I try to do, I don't manage every time, but what I try to do is to, I take a minute. I'm like, okay, I need a timeout. I'm just gonna go for a walk. I'm just gonna take myself out of the situation. Maybe I need to go to the bathroom and close the door and just like, you know, maybe I need to go for a walk. Maybe I just need, to drink a glass of water. Maybe, you know, I'm trying when I'm with other people to take myself, to remove myself for a few minutes and to say, like, I'm sorry, you know, I can't right now. I just have to go in the other room. I have to go out for a walk. I'll be back in 5 minutes, you know, and then just let it out when it's too much, when I can't seem to. And then from there, I can bring my feminine power into it, right? So that's at least one method that I use.
Thank you so, so much. It's so interesting how pausing is a part of the power, isn't it? And right now I will pause a little bit just to let you all know that there are the links for how you can stay connected with Uni. Our wonderful tech host Virginia posted that in the chat, so please stay connected with that. And I would also like to deeply encourage you to consider owning the library of the Embodiment Conference for the sake of digesting all this knowledge and to take this space for you to really take time to learn and practice and practice and practice and learn and learn and learn and stay connected with all these things. My own personal experience is definitely connected to having the knowledge on hand whenever I need it. So please support the conference also by purchasing. And also you help everyone that cannot buy the conference by you owning it. So thank you so much for everyone who's joining forever to be with us forever. And you can also find the link in the chat for that. And before we have the final word from this beautiful woman being here today with us, thank you so much, Uni, again. I'd like to also invite you to join our Facebook group, the Embodiment Conference, and join the coffee breaks where we have some chats and discussions about topics. So welcome everyone to continue being connected to us. And for the final words, Uni, I'd like to ask you, what is your top tip for staying embodied?
Ooh. Movement is huge for me. I tend to be up in my head a lot. So when I move my body, when I might have to go for a run, I might have to go for, like, I live in Norway, so we have really cold water here. I go for like a little dip in the cold water. I do like daily practices of connecting with my body, and because it's through my body that I can connect and also feel and bring up my feminine power. So that's, yeah.